Welcome to SCOTUScast. On February 20th, 2008, the Supreme Court decided Danforth v. Minnesota. The court was asked to consider whether state Supreme Courts are required to use the standard announced in Teague v. Lane to determine whether United States Supreme Court decisions apply retroactively to state court criminal cases, or whether a state court may apply state law or state constitution-based retroactivity tests that afford application of Supreme Court decisions to a broader class of criminal defendants than the class defined by Teague. The court held that Teague does not constrain the authority of state courts to give broader effect to new rules of criminal procedure than is required by that opinion. In this episode of SCOTUScast, Professor Stephen McAllister of Kansas University Law School discusses the case. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor McAllister.
The Supreme Court decided the case of Danforth v. Minnesota on February 20th, 2008. Danforth raised the question whether state courts in their own post-conviction proceedings are required to follow the Supreme Court's Teague doctrine of retroactivity or non-retroactivity regarding rules of criminal procedure announced by the Supreme Court. A majority of the court, with the opinion written by Justice Stevens for seven justices, held that the Supreme Court's Teague doctrine regarding retroactivity of the court's criminal procedure decisions is not a constitutional command, and therefore state courts are not compelled to follow it in their own post-conviction proceedings. Instead, the majority held that the Teague doctrine derives from the federal habeas statute itself, and therefore is limited to federal courts. Now, in Danforth itself, the question, to be precise, was whether the state courts might adopt a broader view of retroactivity than Teague would otherwise indicate. In other words, can state courts give the benefit of a rule to defendants in state post-conviction proceedings when the federal courts would not give defendants the benefit of that rule in federal habeas proceedings? Danforth did not address the other question, which one might derive from the situation, which is, if the Supreme Court said a rule is retroactive under Teague, might a state court nonetheless refuse to apply that rule in state post-conviction proceedings on the basis that it is a federal rule only for federal habeas and therefore not applicable to the state courts? Justice Stevens, for the majority, carefully left that question open in footnote 4, indicating that those facts were not present in this case and that the court would not address that question. That point was certainly picked up on by the dissent, written by Chief Justice Roberts and joined by Justice Kennedy, arguing that obviously the majority does view that as an open question, and also suggesting that, looking at the majority's reasoning, that the Teague rule is simply a rule related to federal habeas and therefore not applicable in state court, would lead to the conclusion that states could ignore federal retroactivity doctrine in either direction. In other words, states could decide to apply federal rules retroactively when Teague would not suggest they need to do so, or states could refuse to apply federal rules retroactively even when Teague says they should apply retroactively, at least in federal habeas proceedings. That position was actually argued by some amici states in the case, led by the state of Kansas, and specifically made the argument that none of this retroactivity doctrine under Teague applies in state court because it is related to the federal habeas statute and federal habeas proceedings. Minnesota, the respondent in this case, and some other states led by Alaska, argued that the Teague doctrine was compelled on the states, was constitutionally compelled, and the states had to follow it. And obviously the majority, 7-2, strongly rejected that position, at least in one direction. It's an interesting question whether the court would break down the same way if the other issue were actually presented, a state that refused to apply a rule of criminal procedure in its post-conviction proceedings, even though, say, the Supreme Court had said the rule would be retroactive under Teague. That whole discussion also implicates a case called Yates versus Aiken from South Carolina many years ago, in which the court backhandedly rejected the argument that states could ignore federal retroactivity doctrine. The majority, interestingly, in Danforth never cites nor mentions Yates versus Aiken, but appears, at least in part, sub salientio, to overrule it, and certainly in its footnote 4, reserving the question of whether states could ignore the doctrine, at a minimum suggests that Yates is not necessarily good law and that the question is open. Those points are brought out in Chief Justice Roberts' dissent, where he does talk specifically about Yates versus Aiken, what it held, and how effectively he believes the majority is ignoring or overruling it, certainly discounting it. So at the end of the day, a couple of good questions that arise from Danforth versus Minnesota are: what would happen if the court was confronted with the situation where a state court in post-conviction proceedings declined to apply a federal rule retroactively, even though under the Teague Doctrine, the Supreme Court or other federal courts had said the rule should apply retroactively, and whether the statement, brief though it is, in Yates versus Aiken, that state courts would have to follow federal rules in that context, has effectively been overruled or is certainly live again. The issue is live and on the table once more. But overall, in summary, the bottom line in Danforth is a rather resounding endorsement of the proposition that the Teague Doctrine, the retroactivity or non-retroactivity doctrine, is not a constitutional command. It's not a Marbury versus Madison right of the Supreme Court to say what the law is kind of situation. Rather, the court views it as a rule connected to the federal habeas statute, federal habeas proceedings, and therefore, at least on the facts presented in Danforth, limited in its scope to federal courts and not binding on the state courts.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at federalistsociety.org/multimedia.